This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on, though, to our next story, it's... We're not going to talk about the scandal itself. I will say that up front because I don't think we have anything to add to that. But I will just say that we've seen headlines in the papers over the past few days all revolving around a particularly salacious scandal. And you would probably be feeling a sense of deja vu, like we've been here before, because a lot of the players... within it hold, I suppose, similar positions of power as what we've seen in the past, especially in the political sphere.
Which is true in the sense that we've seen scandals like these weaponized both here and abroad, where compromising images are released. And because it's scandal in all caps, it tends to grab a lot of attention.
It's scandal in all caps with an exclamation mark at the end. It's just a lot. And here... we are seeing that happen again, as evidenced by the attention given to the current situation. I think you'll see just headlines being churned out all the way. But in response to that, there have also been think pieces published on the Malaysian Insight, interviews with analysts on the Malay Mail Online, that suggest that much as there is this focus and there is this attention, perhaps Malaysians also no longer care that much about these sorts of stories, instead wanting to focus on the issues that matter to us, like cost of living, good governance, and so on.
So the question there is whether, you know, that how much water that necessarily holds. Is that true? Is that fake? You know, in one instance, we are so numb and so tired of all these scandals that have come out of late. You know, we've been drowning in headlines previously, and just to have this and just seeing this happening again, I'm not sure whether we really care anymore, whether scandals like these are one necessarily true, and whether if they are true, whether it reflects the competence of a leader, of a politician, and so on.
I would say that it's important here, I think, to separate the interest in gossip from it affecting one's views of competence, like you said. Because in terms of gossip, I think we're all human. If somebody sends you something, if somebody tells you, have you seen? You know, there is an impulse to, oh, what's going on? What's going on? And just huddle into the closest group that's going to tell you what's happening.
Yeah.
But I think there is a difference between having an active interest in the scandal of it and it actually trickling down into you going, oh, well, I can't trust that person anymore. Or, well, this changes everything about our political landscape. I think those two things need to be held separate from one another.
Do you think it also reflects perhaps how we have grown in terms of our political culture? Have we become more mature politically? I'm not sure we have.
Gosh, but... I would like that to be the case. I can't tell you whether that's the case. I wish it were, but I'm not sure. So on the line with us today is Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Center. Ben, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so this obviously isn't the first salacious scandal to have hit political headlines over the years. And to people who watch politics pretty closely, to people who also might see conspiracies where others might not, there often seems to be a strategy behind these releases. Can you take us through when these scandals have been weaponized in the past?
Well, I think if you look at the modern history of politics in Malaysia, there has been cases where important personalities, normally politicians, have been implicated in scandals pertaining to, you know, personal propriety. And this has been going on for several decades. So we've had situations involving component parties of Barisan Nasional, as well as that from the opposition. And a lot of times, the scandals or the allegations towards particular individuals stems from competition. And either it is a competition for resources or competition for positions of power. So a lot of times, it coincides with elections, whether it is internal elections or you know, larger national or state-level elections, where it is something that is utilized by one's opponents or people with interest in order to retard the chances of that individual's political progression. A lot of times, you know, as what Taylor Swift's song said, you know, a lot of the rumors end up to be true, but many of them are false as well or exaggerated with half-truths. So at the end of the day, I think the intent of whoever that perpetrates these things is actually to cast enough doubts for people who would otherwise elect or support a particular individual, you know, change their mind or decided not to go ahead with plans. So I think that's the initial object. And we've had, you know, a series of these types of salacious scandals come out in our politics in general. I think we've seen this particularly over the last maybe two decades. It's been quite a large number of these things floating about from time to time.
How detrimental are they to one's career, and how long do these scandals usually stick around?
Well, I think, number one, I think we also have to look at our society. We are somewhat a politicized society, largely because we have, in our political culture, mass-based political parties with large numbers of members. And we also have a deep-seated culture of political patronage, where membership in political parties is perceived and sometimes realizes economic benefits to people. So there is a motive or a benefit of being part of a political organization. But along with that, it comes along with competition for scarce resources. So when we look at situations like this, we have scandals that come out which tend to stick and those that don't. But what we've noticed is that if over time, I think the effectiveness of such scandals has become blunted. But it also depends on the quality of content being presented, whether it is credible and whether the refutation and the denials are effective. So what I want to say is that some damage will definitely get done, but depending on the personal qualities of the person who's victimized, you know, sometimes they can come back, and they can come back fairly strongly, and people look past scandals, and then they can carry on with their political lives.
So, like you said, and I think like we said too, it's really not the first time this has happened. Have you seen a change in how these scandals have impacted politicians and also the electorate, and how both sides have reacted to the situation?
Well, like I said, you know, we are quite a politicized society because we have mass-based parties, millions of members. So I think, you know, I would like to think that at least about 30% or maybe one-third of the Malaysian electorate are members of some political party of some sort. So you have a lot of people following politics. So for people like this who follow politics, these issues will be something that they will talk about, that they would internalize some of it. And so for many of them, you can't really change their views. So whether they support or do not support a politician, and their views will be set. But there is a large number of people, perhaps two-thirds out there, that are sort of on the fence, that will look at performance, that will look at issues. So for those people, they would move on. The other thing that we also look at, the political market is evolving in the sense that there will always be new people entering and becoming voters. And because of that, new people, younger voters coming into the picture have less memories of the past. So there's always an opportunity to move on. That's, I think, the bigger picture. But within the more specifics, issues and scandals like this tends to reduce trust in politicians and in politics as a way of solving problems. And it creates more cynicism in society, and people tend to stay away from politics and decide things more on themselves. And I think it allows people to move on and make decisions and get on with their lives, and places less trust in politics and politicians as a way to, you know, run things in the country and maintain public life.
So that's mostly on, I guess, how the electorate usually would think about and respond to these sort of scandals. But on the end of politicians, has it changed the way they respond when something like this hits?
Well, you know, if you're on the receiving end of a major allegation, that's what we're seeing floating in the media right now, I mean, certainly it is very distressing, and their followers, you know, will also be, looking at their leaders to see whether these allegations are true. And some people will move in to display loyalty, and some people will try to, you know, seek cover and so on. So we will see a kind of scrambling of sorts take place. But I think in terms of politicians and leaders that are confronted with things like this, I think one has to see the broader context, that a lot of times it is in contestation for positions of power. And if you look at the broader pattern in Malaysian politics and scandals, they seem to coincide with the economic cycle. So we have like things happening every 10 years or so. So every 10 years or so, we have an economic cycle where, you know, economic issues take precedence, and political players scramble over resources and influence and so on, and then the knives come out and scandals like this come out into the media space. So we've seen at least you know, in 1998, in 2008, and then now a bit delayed by 1 year, but 2019, something like this has happened. So a lot of times when the economy goes down, the, you know, the lewd videos come up. So there is a relationship between, I think, the political economy and also the daily cut and thrust of politics. And leaders have to confront this.
Ben, you mentioned earlier that, in your view, in some ways, these scandals and the impact of them have started to become quite blunted. And I think we are also seeing that in this, in that there is a lot of attention, but the furore is just not as great as it was before. Do you think this reflects some form of political maturity on our part? You know, is it ever going to hit a point where we are able to sidestep the theatrics of the situation and look at what you're saying, you know, which is that there are things and strategies behind it. There are other things we need to consider.
Yeah, I think certainly, you know, society has changed, likewise because of information and technology. So what we're seeing right now is that the news cycle is moving, you know, very, very fast compared to where things were 2 decades, 10 years ago. So what we're seeing now is, you know, things come out within a few hours, then, you know, people start to borrow it, debunk it, and then, you know, another alternative, other versions of the story comes out, and then people then can decide. So the impact of such shocking revelations or allegations, you know, get blunted or get moderated very quickly. And so the utility of utilizing such methods to vilify, you know, one's rivals or enemies, you know, I think this, the utility is fast diminishing. And what it does is it desensitizes public to issues of morality and impropriety, and then people will look beyond that and look at performance, look at the reasons why this is happening, and so it creates a new dynamics of also more questioning public, that people who look beyond just the initial gossip and look into the underlying reasons of why this is taking place and what are the qualities involved and what are the implications for themselves in terms of public policy and also programs going into the future.
That's an interesting thing because, you know, when you said that scandals like these tend to instead rather sharpen or refocus our interest in political competency as well as a look at how strong their policies are, do you think that possibly also adds to a sense of political fatigue overall?
Certainly. You know, issues like this desensitizes people over, you know, politicians' personnel, and it makes people become more cynical and skeptical towards political leadership overall. The other situation that we see emerging in the current landscape is, you know, information is so easily accessible, and we also have this situation, you know, not unlike in developed countries where, due to the heavy presence and subscription to social media, people live in their own respective bubbles and echo chambers. So they listen to their friends, peers who are also thinking and maybe voting the same way they do. So people become deeply entrenched into this. This is one aspect. But I think beyond that, it also makes people question the value of political leadership and how it changes their daily lives. So I think a lot of times issues like this brings people to question, you know, the benefits that are brought about by leaders and political parties and so on, and whether or not it solves society's problems. So a lot of times, I think people want to be assured that, you know, the running of the country, the economy, and also the welfare of the public is being addressed, and that they take this politics somewhere else. So I think, you know, after maybe the first few days or maybe weeks of such an issue, people tend to move on fairly quickly, and then they forget until the next one comes around.
Ben, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Ben Sufian, Program Director at Merdeka Center, talking to us about scandals, really, and political sensationalism, and whether or not, as a nation, we're just kind of over it and ready to continue looking at the things that matter to us instead. We have a message here that says, what happens in someone's private life, no business of ours. What happens to the nation's well-being is our problem. So that's reflective, I think, of the sentiment. I'm not sure if it's the general sentiment, mm-hmm. but it's certainly a sentiment being expressed in some quarters, right? That, like, we're not going to get distracted. Gossip is gossip. That's all well and good. But we are going to continue looking at what's actually happening.
It's sort of like a situation where, oh, well, that's scandalous, but I'm still kind of going hungry. So, hey, where's the policy? I don't really care about that anymore, besides it being a 15-minute entertainment at most.
Share your thoughts with us. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.